The fire of your coming, the glory of your presence will shake the earth, and every heart will know. You are Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, the God of Israel, Defender of Zion.
Shalom, and welcome to Heart of Messiah radio broadcast. My name is Steve Weiler, and I'm the lead rabbi of Sheresh David Messianic Synagogues. Currently, we're serving in Wesley Chapel in St. Pete and South Tampa, and Conexion, which is our Spanish-speaking congregation, is also in Wesley Chapel. So let's begin our time together with a word of prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Just, we trust you, we rely on you, we honor you, and Lord, we cry out to you, Father, for things are upside down in this world, and we ask you to make them right side up. We ask you to be restored to the public square of our country and the public square of Israel and other countries as well. Lord, we pray, Father, for a move of your Spirit. We pray for revival. We pray, O Lord, that our country would not continue to disintegrate or erode, but that we would be restored by the power of your Spirit. Raise up leaders who love you, who honor you, who respect you and your word. Lord, we pray for our country to be returned to you, and that you would just touch millions and millions and millions of people's hearts. So we thank you and praise you and worship you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Well, as I've been mentioning for the past few weeks, we have Passover coming up, and it is a great time. If you're interested in us teaching about a Passover Seder or helping you prepare one, or however you'd like us to help in the church or in a Bible study, just let us know, or if you want to do it at home, we'll be happy to send you a Haggadah, and as well as we have the devotional for counting the Omer for 50 days between Passover and Feast of Weeks. So lots of things that you can contact us about. We'd love that. The devotional begins April 24th, the day after Passover, and we would be blessed if you would get these, either the Haggadah, which is the order of service for the Passover, or the counting of the Omer, the devotional. So each of them would be $3, but if you don't have money, we'll be happy to send them to you free, all right? So call our office, 813-831-5673, or you can email me at rabbi@heartofmessiah.org. And don't forget to visit our services Friday night, Saturday morning. Check for our places and congregation times, and just so you can see the calendar. And that would be on our website, Sheresh, Shoresh, David.org. All right. Well, this message is maybe a little different than what you're used to, but this week was a little different than I'm used to. So here we go. In 1954, at that time, Senator Lyndon Johnson introduced an amendment to the U.S. tax code prohibiting nonprofit organizations from taking a public stand on political candidates. As the years went by, this grew into pastors and rabbis were not to be political. Even our congregations say that. Today, a good portion of religious leaders seem afraid to speak out on political issues. Yet, I would tell you that there are very few political issues that are not biblical issues, that were not first biblical issues. So, the other concept that has kept religious leaders and congregants not talking about political issues is this separation of church and state. I'd like to start there. Let's look at the history here. Roger Williams, who founded Rhode Island, was the first public official to use this metaphor of the separation of church and state. And he believed that any government involvement in the church would corrupt the church. There was never a thought about the church corrupting the government or the society. This separation of church and state was made famous by Thomas Jefferson in an 1802 letter to the Danbury Baptist Association. And he declared that the American people adopted the Establishment Clause. When they did that, they built a wall of separation between church and state. The intention was for our government to stay out of the religious institutions and the business of faith. Now, the First Amendment's Establishment Clause prohibits the government from making any law respecting any establishment of religion. This clause not only forbids the government from establishing an official religion, but also prohibits government actions that unduly favor one religion over another, and prohibits government from preferring religion over non-religion or non-religion over religion. In plain English, the government should not interfere in religious matters. However, religious people have every right to be involved in the government and bring their faith with them. So, I'm not an attorney, but it seems to me the recent White House egg competition violated the separation and has been doing so, I just learned, for 45 years. So, many of us just heard about it this weekend because it became a big thing. In conservative radio, and it just means we've been asleep for 45 years. Why is this a problem? Does it affect synagogues and churches and the good news and that the children of veterans were instructed at the White House by a flyer that was given to each participant to do the artwork on eggs? That it must not include any questionable content like religious symbols, overtly religious themes. This is a subtle and sometimes not subtle effort to eliminate God and faith in God in the public square. I love the quote by John Adams. He said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And if he's right, we are in trouble. We've kicked Bible reading out of the public schools. We don't have prayer in the public schools. We teach creation and not evolution. We don't teach creation. We just teach evolution. Now, if we look at the history of our country and we think of all the craziness that's gone on with Harvard in this past year, or past years, I should probably say, the history was it was started in 1636 by Puritans shortly after they arrived in Massachusetts Bay. And the mission of Harvard stated this: everyone shall consider as the main end of his life and studies to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. John 17:3. The Harvard motto from 1650 emphasized its core Christian commitment: in Christi Gloriam, which means for the glory of Christ. Over long decades, conservative Puritan ministers served as Harvard's presidents. Now, they weren't the only one. Almost every Ivy League institution had similar beginnings. Yale was established by conservative Connecticut Congregationalists. In New Jersey, Presbyterians founded Princeton. Rhode Island Baptists founded Brown. New Hampshire Evangelicals founded Dartmouth. These schools shared common commitments to the authority of the Word of God, the good news of Yeshua, and the need for a believer's influence on our society, to train up our youth, to train up our kids, to be able to know God's word so that they could become effective leaders in this country and throughout the world. Now, you and I all know that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet, with all our mistakes, with all the things that are wrong with us, it's better to have a country that is focused on God than a country that is focused on self. Wouldn't you agree? You and I all know that. We see in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Messiah Yeshua will be persecuted, but evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. We have been deceived into thinking that people of faith should not influence our society. And now, as a country, we seem to be described well in Isaiah 5, starting with verse 20. Oy to those who call evil good and good evil, who present darkness as light and light darkness, who present bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter. Oy to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Oy to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant at mixing drinks, who justify the wicked for a bribe and deprive the innocent of justice. Sound like today? Much of our media and our politicians and all our leaders are indoctrinated by their ideology. And I don't believe they even know anymore what true is and what right is. And life has been so good for you and me, so that we will not take the time or the effort to try and change this downhill trajectory of our country. Is this something that's important? Romans 16:17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep your eye on those who are causing divisions and stumbling blocks, contrary to the teaching that you learned. Turn away from them, for such people do not serve our Lord the Messiah, but only their own belly. By their smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Your obedience has become known to all, so I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. So no matter what side you're on, if you're a Democrat, independent, if you're Republican, whatever label you put, most of our newscasters present their ideology, not the facts. We can not only become tricked into becoming more divided as a country, but as we repeat things that are not true, we become part of that division. We become a divider. That happened to me this last weekend. I only heard one side of the story. about the children not being allowed in the White House decorating egg competition, not allowed to do religious things in these designs, made it sound like President Biden and his administration was the culprit. And honestly, I would have believed that. But that's not the truth. And even people, whatever side you're on, we have to go for the truth. We have to find more of the information. And so I did. And I found out that it's been the same in every administration for 45 years. Having said that, I'm still incensed. But now it's not at the Biden administration, who unfortunately continues this tradition, but rather by our culture that is trying to take faith and biblical values out of our country. And we vote in people who are part of our country's erosion. Why would you ever tell children who are doing an art project at the White House, and they're veterans' children, and they're asked to do artwork about their life, but you tell them that they can't use religious symbols or themes? Does that sound neutral to you? I believe this is a First Amendment issue. They were told not to. So government was taking a side. Remember what I spoke of in the beginning, what I read? We've been hoodwinked. We've been deceived. Why is this important for us as believers in Yeshua? Because people today have changed good for evil. They've rewritten the truth to serve themselves. And for the most part, the body of believers have been silent. Even within the church, many have not taken God's word literally and have changed it or its understanding so that they could placate those who might feel hurt because of their situation or the fact that they disagree. It has become part of our culture to change the truth in order to not offend people who scream the loudest. Are we strongly defending the word of God? How about Genesis 1:27? God created humankind in his image. He created male and female. He created them. Okay, are we defending God's word? Are we willing to defend God's word in 1 Corinthians 6:9? Or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. The sexually immoral, the idolaters, adulterers, those who practice homosexuality, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. So are we going to pick and choose from God's word from this list? Well, thieves, they steal. They need to be punished, corrected. Adulterers, those who cheat on their spouse, well, they definitely need to be punished or corrected. Slanderers, people who damage someone's reputation by saying false things about them, oh, they need to be punished and corrected. By the way, a short rabbi trail here. There's something in Judaism called Lashana Hara. Listen to the difference of what this is. It is negative or harmful speech, even if what they are saying is true. That needs to be corrected or punished. Going on this list, greedy, selfish desire for money or things needs to be corrected, right, or punished. Homosexuality, well, that needs to be accepted, protected, and lifted up as normal. Right? Or wrong? It's on the list. We're not saying it's worse than anything else. We're just saying sin is sin. Some of us have used the slippery slope argument. That's really not a great argument because it assumes that the top of the slope is good, though it leads to things that are not okay. So at the top of the slope right now is being gay. That's okay. But trans might not be okay. And it was a slippery slope, obviously, and it will continue to be a slippery slope. But what the assumption here is that now, because there's so many gay and it's so accepted that it's normal and it's not a sin. Is adultery a sin? Is lying a sin? 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not put up with sound instruction, but they will pile up for themselves teachers in keeping with their own desires to have their ears tickled. And they will turn away from hearing the truth and wander off to myths. James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is dragged away and enticed by his own desire. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. So what do we do now? I love Brad Bright's book, God is the Issue, because he talks about reframing all conversations to make them about God. But we pray, we know God, we make sure we know God's word, we share God's word, and we speak to people about Messiah with humility and reverence. Now, look, many of our kids have grown up in this culture and agree with homosexuality, and so we need to be careful how we speak. We need to be sensitive, but we have to speak the truth. Instead, it says in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Messiah as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet with humility and reverence. Anything we do should be that way. Look, I have a thing for you here. If you have some good ideas on how you think we should retrieve the culture for the Lord in our country, please email me your ideas. I'd love to hear what you think, how we can wake up the church, the messianic synagogues, the pastors, the rabbis. How can we wake up? You know, I'm reading a book, and it's talking about, well, we'll talk about it some other time, but it's talking about the church in the 1930s in Germany and how they were silent. And they watched the Holocaust go by, pretty much, except for a few. Are we doing the same thing with sin? I think we really need to look at our own lives and how much we are involved in being part of the answer, not part of the problem. Well, we'll continue this, but I know it's kind of sobering, but I think it's important to get this out. I pray that you will come visit us. I pray you'll contact us for the 50-day devotional and the Haggadah for Passover. Call us at 813-831-5673. And let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you and honor you and worship you. Lord, your word is to be a lamp to our feet. And so, Lord, I'm just turning on the lamp, Father, and I'm praying that we will acknowledge you in all our ways. In all our ways. So, Father, I pray that the Lord would be with each and every listener as their first priority, and that they and you would grow in your desire to have a heart like the heart of Messiah. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
You are Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, God of Israel.